Number 8, Gospel of John, chapter number 8. John, chapter number 8, there's a lot of different great verses in it, a lot of different messages that come out of there. And I think even a few weeks ago, we looked at a certain portion in John, chapter number 8. But today we're going to focus on verses 20 through 24. So I went online. You know, sometimes you want to have a good introduction. You try to figure out things that might be an attention getter. And the title of this morning's message is To Die in Your Sins. And I was thinking about really bad ways to die. And it sounds kind of morbid, but I thought, well, what's one of the worst ways to die? And one of them was crucifixion. And then they began describing a couple other things, and after I got to like number 3, I said, no, I don't want to keep on reading that, because there's some really, really bad ways that die in a physical way. But I believe what Jesus is talking here to a group of Pharisees, and he tells them that they're going to die in their sins, is without a shadow of a doubt the worst tragedy that can ever happen to an individual. If they would die with a lost soul. Tragedy in not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior, the tragedy of missing heaven. And Jesus looks at this group of people and says, you're going to die in your sins. And then a few verses later, he says, if you do not believe in me, because you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. And what the Bible is saying there at that moment in time is that if we do not have faith and we're not a believer, a Christian, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are dying in your sins right now. And boy, that's a very sombering thought. And the Lord laid this upon my heart, and I pray that it be an encouragement and a blessing to those in the room that know that they don't have to die in their sins. They know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're on the way to heaven. We have so much to be rejoicing about and so much to be thankful for. But the people that are all around us, if they don't know Christ, they're dying in their sins. But to the people here today that may not know Christ or does not know Christ as their personal Savior or question where they're going to spend eternity, and I know there are some here because I've talked to some and I've heard their testimonies or lack of testimonies, and they need Christ, and right now they're dying in their sins. And it's even though they describe some different things on the internet, and I wouldn't suggest that you go read them, you know, crucifixion, have a little bit of knowledge about other ones. There are some really, really horrible ways to die. Being eaten alive by an animal, that was one of the things, talking about how they gnaw on you. And so, you know, it's like, and then they get worse. I'm thinking, oh, forget that. But then to die without Christ, that's even a greater tragedy. So this morning, I would like to look at this story. And the beginning of the story, it talks about the woman that's taken in adultery and how Jesus goes and he bends down and he writes something on the sand and how he doesn't condemn her, but he goes and tells her to sin no more. And, you know, he deals with her sin and she leaves. And they begin having a conversation back and forth. And we're not going to take time to read the whole thing. The Pharisees are asking questions. In verse 13, it says, therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. They're calling him a liar. Jesus responds in verse 14, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whether I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whether I go. He says, you don't know who I am. You don't know who I am. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know who my Father is. You are blinded to this. And the devil does that. He blinds the truth. Verse number 19, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye have known me, ye should have known my Father also. If we know who Christ is, we have our faith and trust in Christ, we know who the Father is. Verse number 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught. Now, in the treasury, he's talking about in the temple. It's in a more common spot, even a spot for ladies. As taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Now, he's made him mad already by what things he's said. If this was just anybody, they would have grabbed a hold of him and taken him, but his hour was not come yet, so they didn't take him. What do you mean? You know, God controls everything. He controls the hearts of man. He controls the thoughts if he needs to and wants to. And the hands of the hearts of the kings are in his hand. Verse 21, there's a message here that he's giving that's very blunt and very honest to this group. Then said Jesus again unto them, these are people who have not believed, who chose not to believe, who's questioned him, called him a liar. He says, I go my way. And he's talking about the way that God has given him, God's the Father's will. He's going up to heaven. And it says, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Think about those very sombering words. Ye shall seek me, whether I go, ye cannot come. He's talking about, hey, I'm on the going on my way to heaven, and you're not going to be able to follow me. He continues on. They once again question him. They're not asking him to explain. They're not interested in truth. They're interested in getting their point across. Then said the Jews, probably mockingly, will he kill himself? What does he mean we're not going to be able to come? Will he kill himself? Because he say, whether I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, talking about earth. You're from the earth. I am from above, talking about heaven. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I believe that is probably one of the most tragic things that can ever happen, is to be dying. It's the most tragic thing that could happen, is to die in your sins, not knowing Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. God, I know the message today is a simple thought. We need Christ for salvation. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that's not sure of their eternal home, Lord, that you will lessen the distractions that are around them, and that, Lord, they would see their need. And Lord, if there's people here that we know they're not sure of their eternal home as believers, that we'd be praying for them, that they would see and they would understand the truths of the gospel. And Lord, those that are watching via live stream, that this will be something that could impact this world, because that's what the gospel does. It changes lives. And Lord, as we see how blunt and honest Jesus was with this group of people, help us also see the world around us as people that are lost and dying in their sins, and that there is no hope within without Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus says, whither I go, you cannot come, he spoke of eternal separation of a lost soul from a pure and compassionate Savior who died for the sins of the world. He's referring to the impassable gulf between heaven and hell, where no human soul on their own can go. We think about the story that's found in Luke chapter number 16. You think about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus even tells the rich man, hey, look, there's a gulf between us. It's fixed. He says, I can't go to you. You can't go to me. I can't send Lazarus. He says, it's impossible to do. So when he's using this word, whether I go, you cannot come, in verse number 21, he is saying, you're not going to be able to go to heaven without me. Think about those words. I go my way. You shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. The loss of health, the loss of wealth, the loss of reputation pales in comparison. It's insignificant to the tragic loss of a human soul. These people were not lost because they lacked religion. They had all the religion in the world that they could have. They certainly were not religious. They were not without religious ritual. They certainly had form. They certainly had ceremony. They certainly knew the Mosaic law. They even questioned in chapter number 8 at the beginning about the woman in adultery when they said, hey, Moses in verse number 5 says, now Moses in law commanded us that you should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They're trying to trick him. They're trying to tempt him. They knew the law. They had a religious background. They were God's chosen people. They wasn't like they were Gentiles who had never heard the truth. It wasn't like they were some remote island where the gospel had never been proclaimed or published or translated. They knew who God was. But Jesus looked at them and said, you're dying in your sins. However, like millions today, they substituted religion for regeneration. They substituted ritual for righteousness. They substituted human tradition for a divine commandment. They were lost and worse yet, they were so blind and so prejudiced, so steeped in unscriptural religion that even Jesus himself says to them, you're lost in your sins. Not only lost, he says, you're going to die in your sins. You say, well, isn't there any hope? Well, praise God, there is hope. Look what it says in verse number 30. In verse number 30 says, and he spake these words, many believed on him. There is a hope. There is a belief. There is something that can happen. But for these that were so steep in their religion and refusing to see who he was, he says to them in verse number 24, he says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Romans chapter 10, verse number 3 puts it this way. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It's saying they're rejecting the Messiah, rejecting that he is he, and they're saying, I can come in my own and establish my own righteousness. I can do my own works. I can do my own way, so I can earn my way to heaven. And he says, you're dying in your sins because you have rejected me. You're dying in your sins, and you cannot come after me. No wonder Jesus said, you will die in your sins, and whither I go, you cannot come. To die in your sins is to die with your sins unforgiven. It is the worst way to die. You cannot come means that heaven's just not going to pop open for just anyone. If you die in your sins, you will not get to heaven, is what he's saying to this group. He's saying, if you have rejected me, it's just not going to happen. We live in a world full today of people that are confused about what heaven is and how to get to heaven and the truths that are found. And Jesus is looking to a group of religious people, and there is religious people all over this world that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the message he has for this group, who is has very many ceremonies, have very many rituals, has many of their own self-righteousness, he looks at them and says, you're dying in your sins. Can you imagine dying in your sins despite being near the Savior? I mean, there they've heard him. They've seen him teach. They've seen the miracles. They have experienced. They don't like him. They're trying to tempt him because they didn't have an answer for him because he was not part of their political and religious groups. They're there trying to trick him up to be taught by Christ. Even to be said, like it says in verse number 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. To have the light of the world speaking to you. And for him to say, you're dying in your sins. It wasn't the fact that they were not near him. It wasn't the fact that they had not seen the miracles. It wasn't the fact that they did not know the truth. It says even in verse number 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's telling them what it means to be free, and they still question him. They still don't believe. They still mock him. They still someday later on crucify him. And once again, these were not people that were not familiar with religious things. These were God's chosen people. They weren't people that were Gentiles, and the idea that they had never heard. Yes, they have to come to Christ the same way, but this group here, he's looking at them and he's saying, you're dying in your sins. So I'm speaking to a group of people today that I look across the room, I don't see a lot of new people here today. I see people who have been here many times and been here for a long time. Some people have been here for a month or two. Some have been here for a few weeks. Some have been here for 30 or 40 years. But without Christ, it doesn't matter how much religion you have or how much knowledge you have about other religions or even knowledge about the Bible, you're dying in your sins without him. This morning, have you ever accepted him as your personal Savior? We're going to talk more about that later. They were lost in spite of such wonderful access to truth. They had Jesus standing there before them. And they were God's chosen people. They knew the testimonies of Abraham. They talk about the testimonies of Abraham. They even said that we're not in bondage. We're Abraham's children. We learned about that a few weeks ago. They refused to see. Their eyes had been blinded. Why did these people refuse the Son of God? Why do they refuse a Savior and a friend? Why do millions in our generation die in their sin and forever cut off from Christ in heaven today? You say, well, if Jesus was here, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. If you don't believe his word and the testimony of his word and testimonies of how God, it's the same God that works in people's hearts. It's the same Holy Spirit that can come work in your heart today. Just as they've rejected, if you're going to continue to reject his word and reject his truth, you're going to die in your sins. We have the written word of God with us, the completed written word of God. We have the testimonies about Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us as believers and the Holy Spirit of God that convicts unbelievers in their need of salvation. Just as those rejected Christ, there's many today that reject Christ too. So why in the world would they reject him? I think the main reason is because of unbelief. Look again what it says in verse number 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That is the thing, that's the key. One preacher put it this way, unbelief is the most horrible, wicked, and fatal of all sins. It locks heaven's door and opens the wretched chasms of hell. Unbelief has slain its millions and damned its multitudes. Unbelief drove Adam and Eve from the Eden's garden and plunged multitudes beneath the judgment waters of the flood. Unbelief kept Israel out of Canaan for 40 long years and hindered the fulfillment of God's wonderful promises to his people. And if you have sat and listened and heard the truth of the gospel preached over and over and choose not to believe, it's the son of unbelief. It's the reason why you're dying in your sins. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy home. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says it's about belief. Do you believe? And the question is, what do you believe? And I know that different people have different opinions here, but what the Bible teaches us, if we believe on him. If you want to take your Bible to John chapter number 3, it's just a few pages back, more than likely. And look at what it says in verse number 18. It ties in great with verse number 16. But verse number 18, it says, it's blunt, it's honest, and I don't see how people can mix it up. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what the scriptures are saying, when Jesus is looking at that group and he's saying, you're dying in your sins, is because of the fact they've already been condemned because of their sins. Many people have this misconception. They don't have this understanding. Okay, I'm a human and someday I'm going to go to heaven. And when I get to heaven, it's going to be based off of how many good works I've done or how much sin I haven't done, whether or not I get to have entry into heaven. And it's based off of maybe some big giant scale. And if the good outweighs the bad, maybe if I was in church, maybe if I got baptized, maybe if I was a church member, maybe if I was just faithful, that will get me to heaven. And that verse there is saying, if you have not believed, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. The person who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, saying that you've already been judged. You've already been condemned because of your sins. It's whether or not you believe. It's whatever. It's the only thing that's going to set you free. And that belief means that we put our faith and trust in him. We see ourselves as sinners. And this verse here, it's just key. Because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, that is the reason why a person is condemned, is because they do not know God and they do not know his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he's done. So, Pastor, of course I believe in a God. God cannot perform the mighty work of regeneration of heart until there is a willingness to believe. One preacher put it this way, O soul without Christ, believe today that he is from heaven by the way of a virgin. Believe that he walked among men living a spotless life. Believe that he died on the cross, the just for the unjust. Believe that God laid him on Calvary at Calvary, laid on him at Calvary all your sins. Believe that he rose from the dead that you might have eternal life. He says, believe and live. We must see ourselves as a sinner in need of a Savior. We must turn to God in repentance and faith, as it says in Acts 20, verse 21. He says, testifying to both the Jews and also to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will do what he can to keep people lost. He'll do whatever he can to keep people from believing. He'll do whatever he can to try to manipulate them into believing some type of false religion, as he had done so well with these Pharisees. And Jesus is looking at them. I see all your rituals. I know all about you. I know your heart, but you're lost and dying in your sins. This morning I wonder, is there someone dying in their sins here today? You say, well, how do I believe? Believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. And that sin has separated us from God. As he said here already in verse 21, I go my way, talking about going to heaven, and ye shall seek me, saying, how do I get there? And shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. You cannot come without having faith and trust in him. And the Bible talks about conviction of sin and seeing that you're a sinner and understanding that sin has separated you from God, and that you, the only way that you can get to heaven is by putting faith and trust in him. Don't delay because you're dying in your sins. I don't know if there's really a main point, but that's the main thing, is don't delay because you're dying in your sins. There's an urgency that's there. Jesus didn't say, hey, come back next week, we'll talk about it. Jesus didn't mince his words. Jesus, as God, he obviously is able to say everything and say it in the right way. He says it in a powerful way. You know what? You're going to die in your sins. You're rejecting me. You're dying in your sins. The Bible speaks of an urgency. The Bible doesn't say put it off for a few more days. The Bible doesn't say put it off till next year. The Bible doesn't say wait till you're 18 or wait till you're 25. Wait till you get everything else figured out. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He doesn't say, hey, come on later on together. He says, no, come now. Consider now. Let us reason together. Let's look at this. You are a sinner and you're in need of a Savior. Your sins may be as scarlet. They can be white as snow. How can that happen? That happens only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Because if not, you're dying in your sins today. It's not the fact, hey, maybe I can do a little bit better. Maybe I can accomplish a little bit more. Maybe I can accomplish and do some more good works. Those are all lies of the devil. He says, let's reason together. Let's reason what the Word of God says. Let's reason what the Bible says. You can know him today. You don't have to put it off. You say, well, what's wrong with putting it off? The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There are some people in this room that have many years ahead of them. There are some people in this room that doesn't have as many years. As I get older and older and older, you know, old people don't look so old anymore. Yeah, because you know what happens? You turn old. And then you realize, and in a couple of years, I'm going to turn 50, and then I know it's all downhill. No, it's been downhill for the last 5 years already. So it's so what are you saying? I'm saying that there's no promise of tomorrow. We know people who have gone on in this world at young ages. We've seen little ones and babies and teenagers and young adults, people fighting for their lives, people die suddenly. There's an urgency that the Bible puts on it, and he that's why Jesus is speaking to them. You say, well, Jesus is just being rude. No, if you were sick and you needed a Savior, if you're sick and you need a doctor, you would want that doctor to tell you the truth. Hey, you're done. And that's what he's doing. You're sick and you're in need of a Savior. You're sin sick, and he's saying you're dying in your sins. You don't have to, though. Acts, there's some stories in the Bible about people who God spoke to their hearts and they said, not right now. I think about Felix. Felix, as Paul began to reason with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment, he sat there and he gave his testimony. He calls out to the decision and says, will you not believe in it today? It says, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, that when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He says, hey, look, and he trembles because he hears it and he hears the reasoning. He understands what the truth is. I believe God is speaking to his heart. And he says, not right now. Go away for right now. And when it's a more convenient season, I'll have you come back. I will call for thee. He died in his sins. The Bible doesn't say he didn't die in his sins. The Bible records that, I believe, because he does die in his sins. King Agrippa, same thing. Paul's reasoning with him. Paul's telling his testimony. He's preaching before kings. And King Agrippa says to him, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Some people think he said that mockingly. Some people think he was moved, but he chose not to make that decision. He had too much of the world to live for. Like Felix, he would say, hey, come back some other time. I got too much I want to get straight and too much I want to do. It's not until you realize that you're broken and there's nothing you can do for yourself to make yourself look good to God before you ever get saved. There is no such thing as making yourself look better to him. He sees you as a sinner, no matter how bad a sinner you are or how good of a sinner you think you may be. You're lost and dying in your sins. Come now, let us reason together. The Bible says today, behold, now is the day of salvation. I think about Pilate and the story of Pilate, and he had a one-on-one conversation with Jesus. Can you imagine getting to have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus? And his testimony with Jesus was, I find no fault in him. He wanted to release Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He says, I find no fault in him. He even comes to the spot and says, what shall I do then with this, with Jesus, which is called Christ? He questions truth. He says, what is truth? And he comes to the spot, he asks a group of people who did not know and did not understand and said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you supposed to do with him? You know what he does? He washes his hands and he pretends he's not my problem. You know what? This decision is only for you. If you wash your hands and pretend that there is no problem, it doesn't mean that you're going to get to go to heaven. The Bible is saying that you will seek me and you shall die in your sins. The Bible says, whether I go, you cannot come. Today, what are you going to do with him? You shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. The Bible is speaking about the fact that we're all going to die someday. There's a point in the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, you say, okay, Pastor, it's good. I understand. I understand all that. I know I need to get saved. I need to get saved right now, but isn't really my decision to make? It is, but there's an enemy out there that's trying to deceive people. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Think that you can just kind of push it off for a little while. I think one of the greatest lies of the devil, I really truly believe, is procrastination. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together. The devil says, hey, just do it tomorrow. There's always going to be a tomorrow. There's always going to be tomorrow. But the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Men die in their sins because of the work of Satan. Satan has a master plan. He is as interested in sending to as many people as he can to go to hell. He say, really? Yes, you're deceived. You don't believe that. That's why the Bible says there's another gospel. It's not a true gospel, but there's another gospel. The Bible even goes as far as saying that, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's saying that the devil will blind the eyes and the minds of the people that is trying, the gospel is trying to go to. It doesn't play fair. Do what he can. Why else do you think the Bible says be sober, be vigilant? For your adversary, the devil, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. We must admit that Satan even has the power to blind the unsaved to the truth of the gospel. Satan has deceived people over and over, and Jesus is looking at these people saying, you shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. He even says later on in the same chapter, in verse number 44, he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of him. He cannot speak truth. He will do what he can to deceive people and to not believing. I mean, people have painted him this picture of this grotesque creature with some type of tail and a pitchfork, somebody that you would be afraid of. But he presents himself as an angel of light. He has his ministers of righteousness, and the devil deceived them that were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You're going to die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. It's because you haven't believed. There is a wonderful hope that we have in heaven, a wonderful hope based off of what the redemption story is. And today, that is a story we have as believers.
As Christians, we have the opportunity to tell the world that's lost and dying in their sins, and they can't get to the heaven on their own. And Jesus looks at them and says, you're dying in your sins. And the believers sometimes just don't care. They have become so hard-hearted in the fact of being a witness that they can walk past people, people that they say they love, people that they say they interact with, people that they wish they knew the gospel, but don't see them as someone who's dying in their sins. Christ looks at this group and he says to them, you're dying in your sins. The thief on the cross had lived all his life in sin, and he turned to Jesus before he died and was wonderfully saved. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The wonderful truth is that any who will come to him, he's not going to cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Jesus, he will take you as you are. He loves you and cares for your soul as much as he has ever loved and cared for any individual. He's looking at this group and he's saying to them, ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he. This morning, do you believe in him? Not just believe about him. Do you believe that he came because you were a sinner and he loved you so much and your sin is what put him on that cross? And you see your sin and you're sorrowful for your sin. You're sorrowful for what was done, that what had to be happened for you. And you turn to him and say, Lord, I believe. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe I'm in need of a Savior. Lord, I'm calling out and trusting in you and you alone for salvation today. If not, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, you are dying in your sins. Today, do not let man's religion, do not let any individual stop you. Hear what the Bible says. Come now, let us reason together. The Bible has said, the Bible that we believe when it says in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and we believe it all the way through, says that all men must repent if they want to get to heaven. And he's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want you to perish. But there's people who sat in church for years upon years upon years with some type of remembrance of something they maybe did but didn't really understand it, or something that they're basing off their church membership or their parents' religion or their grandparents' religion or their good works or this and that. Nothing more different than these Pharisees. They trusted in something other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And they were dying in their sins. Today, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, don't put it off. Because he says, ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I go my way and ye shall seek me. Ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. I wish I could tell you lots of different stories about lots of different people I knew that put it off and then passed away. I do know some. I know some people who died suddenly without Christ. I have someone who used to work with that wanted to put it off and put it off. Then he died. To my knowledge, never accepting Christ. Story after story after story. King Agrippa is one of those. Felix is one of those. Pilate is one of those. They knew the truth. They said, not today. How long do you think that you can keep on pushing him away? The Bible speaks about grieving the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible speaks about being given a reprobate mind. The Bible says, don't keep on pushing him away. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. There's no guarantee that he's going to convict your heart again about it. You're dying in your sins. Don't put it off. To the believer in the room, how can we be so callous? How can we not tell anybody if we truly believe that people are dying in their sins? Should we not pray? Should we not tell? We should, because we're told to do it. Because there are people that are lost today. Let's pray. If everybody's head bowed, I'd like to ask you a question real quick. This morning's message was intended for both believers and unbelievers. The unbeliever is intended for if you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would love to give you a chance to talk to somebody. I'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven so where you're not dying in your sins. So I'd like to ask a couple questions. The first question is pretty standard, and if you've been in church before, you've heard this before. If you're here today and you say, hey, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There was a day in my life that I saw myself as a sinner, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sins, and if I die today, I know that I would go to heaven. If you know that, can you give testimony of that by raising your hand? All across the room. Everybody had to come to God that same way. You can put your hands down. Let me ask you the next question. Not everybody could raise their hands. Some people might not like raising their hands in church. Some people might not understand the question. And there might be someone here that says, hey, Pastor, I'm like those people Jesus is talking to. I don't know him. I don't believe in him in the way that you talked about. And I'm not sure if I go to heaven when I die. Is there anybody in the room that would give testimony of that by raising their hand? Anybody at all? This morning, it doesn't have to be that you leave this place the same way you came in. Put your faith and trust in him today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today. And Lord, I pray that this passage of Scripture you spoke to my heart about, that it will have an impact on those here today that are believers and to those here today that may be an unbeliever and some that may be confused or questioning. God, I pray you help us, Lord, to understand and see people the way you see them. Lord, you saw throughout the generations that there were people that were dying in their sins. And that's why you commended your love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why in the garden you promised that Messiah, the whole purpose of Christ's coming, the redemptive work of mankind, to seek and to save that which was lost. We have such a wonderful story to tell. Convict our hearts about telling it to those that are dying in their sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with